This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Since its inception in 1984, the annual TED Conference has grown to attract the likes of Bill Clinton, Bill Gates, Jane Goodall, and many other big-name speakers. The idea is they talk about technology, entertainment, and design under the slogan, Ideas Worth Spreading. Today, TED Talks routinely go viral across social media platforms, and the concept has multiplied into countless international TED Global and regional TEDx events. It's even spawned an NPR program called the TED Radio Hour. Despite its undeniable success, a speaker at a recent San Diego TEDx event dared to ask whether the ideas presented at TED really are worth spreading.
The key rhetorical device of any TED Talk is a combination of epiphany and personal testimony. The speaker shares some personal story of insight and revelation, its trials and tribulations. What does the TED audience hope to get from this? Vicarious insight, a fleeting moment of wonder, a sense that maybe it's all going to work out after all, spiritual buzz? Well, I'm sorry, but this is not up to the challenge of the problems that we are ostensibly here to face.
Benjamin Bratton there. He's Associate Professor of Visual Arts at the University of California, San Diego. Since that talk was posted online, his anti-TED TED Talk has ignited a public discussion about the value and purpose of the TED brand. And Benjamin is with us now from his home in California. Welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you for having me on. It's a pleasure.
So just some full disclosure here, TED, big influence in our realm. You know, we talk about ideas, and we've had several TED speakers on our show. I've emceed TEDx events, given my own TED talk. But we've also looked quite critically at the brand and as a venue for pseudoscience. So clearly, a lot of people know about TED. How do you see its influence on popular culture?
Well, first let me say that I also have a lot of friends and colleagues who have done TED Talks, done really great TED Talks. And if someone watches a TED Talk and they learn something and they get something out of it, that's fine. I just think that TED has become such a dominant format in how the public discussion about technology, design, innovation is structured and in which we participate in it, that its limitations are amplified. And to me, its limitations have to do with the way in which it asks speakers, demands speakers, to articulate their work in a particular kind of way. And that is a kind of evangelical, almost missionary kind of rhetoric. And to position the audience and to position us and to position this conversation into one in which the experience of optimism takes priority over the seriousness and ambiguity and contradictions and difficult work that really should be the basis of the discussion. There's the corollary to placebo science and placebo medicine is placebo politics and placebo innovation. And on that count, I think TED has a long way to go.
Meaning that you can talk something over, but as you say in your talk, why is so little that is proposed in TED Talks, why does so little of that actually happen? So this is just a placebo effect. It makes everybody feel good having heard an idea, but nobody does anything about it. What are you after here?
Well, a little of both. Clearly that, you know, if we're going to be talking about big ideas and grand challenges and very difficult things, then we can't expect things to change overnight. But that isn't really the core of my point. It's more that when the experience of optimism and the experience of some kind of epiphany and insight and it becomes almost in a religious, almost like a religious service, the ultimate goal and outcome of these events, then it's impossible to have a serious discussion that might actually lead towards something that could have a lasting effect. So as I say in the talk, if we invest in things that make us feel good but which don't actually work, and don't invest in things which don't make us feel good, but which may actually lead towards some outcome, then our fate is that it'll just get harder and harder to feel good about not solving problems.
Mm. I'd like to play a clip from your talk. You're speaking here about how most TED Talks oversimplify complex issues.
I was recently at a presentation that a friend of mine, an astrophysicist, was making to a potential donor. And I thought this talk was lucid, it was engaging, and I'm a professor of visual arts here at UC San Diego. At the end of the day, I know nothing about astrophysics. The donor, however, said, you know what, I'm going to pass. I'm just not inspired. You should be more like Malcolm Gladwell. Now, at this point, I kind of lost it. Can you imagine I mean, think about it. A scientist who creates real knowledge should be more like a journalist who recycles fake insights.
Whoa, snap. I mean, but is there no, you're talking about Malcolm Gladwell. You know, he's a very popular journalist, definitely a TED talking type. But is there no value in this, Benjamin, in having an exuberant messenger sell something that we may not have known about before, a foreign concept, a different way of thinking about something? Is that any different than maybe in the old days sitting in a cafe and hearing somebody's wild idea?
I think having a open, democratic, welcoming public discussion about the ideas of our time, the problems that we all face, is not only a good idea, it's absolutely necessary. And that's why when one forum, one format for the forum, one content play comes to dominate that discussion, then the pathologies of that format end up having negative effects on everything that it touches. And I'm glad you played that clip, because you have a situation in which if research is less able to articulate itself according to this sort of marketing speak, kind of advertising slogans, it doesn't get funded. It doesn't get supported. And if our goal is to actually focus that open democratic public discussion on solving problems, then the experience of feeling like we're doing something cannot take precedence over actually doing something. Mm.
Well, TED has not, to its credit, branded itself as a solution to the world's biggest problems, but ideas worth spreading, which is fairly humble in comparison. Are you placing too much responsibility on TED for actually doing the solving?
No, I don't think TED is supposed to be a place where a mechanism through which we solve these problems. And I never indicated that it was or criticized it for not being the mechanism through which we solve the problems. We solve the problems through, as I say, a robust, open, serious, adult discussion about the problems that we face. I think it would serve the audience better. I think it would serve the discussion better to narrow the focus of the discussion onto something that almost seems too small of a problem to really spend much time with, and to go as deep and as possible into that problem from multiple different perspectives at once, sort of, you know, Rashomon kind of thing. And I think what you find is that when you investigate something in real detail and care, that when you crack it open, the whole universe is in there. So focus on something very specific, go very, very deep, as opposed to very, very wide and shallow, because TED has wide and shallow covered.
Benjamin Bratton, Associate Professor of Visual Arts at UC San Diego, thank you very much for joining us.
It was my pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
Benjamin's also Director of the Center for Design and Geopolitics at Calit 2. You can see his anti-TED talk at wordofmouthradio.org.